London Calling. London Walks Connecting. This is London. This is London Walks. Streets ahead. Story time. History time. Good morning, London. It's April 4th, 2024. Coming your way, 1 week from today, on April 11th, that treat of treats in the London Walks repertory, a feline take on London history. Yes, I'm talking Anne's Cat Tails Walk. Goes at 10:45 a.m. from Westminster Underground Station, exit 4. And just to get you purring in anticipation, Anne's done a little roundup of all the cat news that's fit to print, as the New York Times used to say. Here's Anne, doing the impossible, herding a clowder of cats.
Welcome to another of my occasional wanders through cat trivia, aimed not just at cat fans, but at all those who just enjoy hearing about the quirkier corners of the news. It's been a quiet few weeks for cats, though not for the late Chloe, whose ashes have been sent into space, along with those of her late owner. You too can do this for a modest £3,000. Students at Essex University declared March the 5th as Campus Cat Day, promoted by some truly terrible puns. Don't forget Campus Cat Day. And marked it with the unveiling by the university's chancellor of a statue of Pebbles, the campus cat. Black and white Pebbles had a perfectly good home elsewhere, but decided he preferred student life and has been around the campus for the last 6 years. There seems to be some competition between departments who claim he attends their lectures, and he has the merch. You can buy a Pebbles t-shirt, backpack, or Pebbles teddy. I can imagine what he'd do with that. A survey voted him the cutest campus cat in Europe, beating Sylvester from the University of East Anglia and Ginger Campus Cat in Augsburg, who has 30,000 social media followers, three times more than the university itself. The other week, firefighters in the States rescued a cat that was trapped on the balcony of a smouldering building. It waited patiently for help. And this reminded me of a different scenario. The other year, the Chiswick lifeboat went to the rescue of a cat trapped against the river wall by the rising Thames tide. It was crouching on a tiny patch of shingle, and as it spat and hissed, the crew member approached it cautiously with a blanket to pick it up safely. The cat, far from cooperative and certainly not appreciative of people risking life and limb to save it, set off swimming down the river, followed by the crew member with blanket in hand, wading through the shallows. Finally, the cat was captured, sat peacefully on its rescuer's knee on the lifeboat, and once on dry land, shot off without a backward glance to its rescuer. The cat's owner knew nothing about it until he saw his cat on a local website and identified Merlin. I'm always alert to mentions of cats in unexpected places. I do a walk about William Morris and found a nice description of Morris drawing a design. The forms were stroked into place, as it were, with a sensation like that of smoothing a cat. And next time you take the tube in London and admire the typeface designed by Edward Johnston in the 1920s and used throughout the Underground, you can think also of his fondness for cats. At one stage, the family's two cats were named Pounce and Higgins. Pounce is a powder used to prepare parchment for writing, but oh, such a suitable name for a cat, and Higgins manufactured Higgins Black Indian Ink. Both materials would have been familiar to Johnston in his work as a calligrapher. At breakfast time, hearing the word taxi, Pounce and Higgins duly raised a paw to hail a cab, before being rewarded with a little bacon. Later, the Johnstons moved to Sussex, where their house was reportedly in a constant state of total chaos. There was a notice on one of the bedroom doors. There is a kitten somewhere in this room.
Fun, huh? Ah, yes. Anne. She's some kind of guide. Got away with words. London Walks is in the clover, in the zone with Anne this week. talked her into doing two of her specials over the next 7 days. This Sunday, April 7th, she's walking along one of the loveliest stretches of the Thames. Hey, it's spring, why not? Doing her William Morris and Friends walk. It goes at 2 p.m. from Stamford Brook Tube Station. That'll rev up the purring for next Thursday's, April 11th, Cattails Walk. You've been listening to This is London, the London Walks podcast, emanating from walks.com, home of London Walks, London's signature walking tour company, London's local, time-honored, fiercely independent, family-owned, just the right size walking tour company. And as long as we're at it, London's multi-award-winning walking tour company. Indeed, London's only award-winning walking tour company. And here's the secret. London Walks is essentially run as a guides cooperative. That's the key to everything. It's the reason we're able to attract and keep the best guides in London. You can get Schlubbers to do this for £20 a walk, but you cannot get world-class guides, let alone accomplished professionals. It's not rocket science. You get what you pay for. And just as surely, you also get what you don't pay for. Back in 1968, when we got started, we quickly came to a fork in the road. We had to answer a searching question. Do we want to make the most money, or do we want to be the best walking tour company in the world? You want to make the most money, you go the Schlubbers route. You want to be the best walking tour company on the planet, you do whatever you have to do to attract and keep the best guides in London. You want them guiding for you, not for somebody else. Bears repeating, the way we're structured, a guides cooperative, is the key to the whole thing. It's the reason for all those awards. It's the reason people who know go with London Walks. It's the reason we've got a big following, a lively, loyal, discerning following. Quality attracts quality. It's the reason we're able, uniquely, to front our walks with accomplished, in many cases, distinguished professionals. By way of example, Stuart Purvis, the former editor and subsequently CEO of Independent Television News, and Lisa Honan, who had a distinguished career as a diplomat. Lisa was the governor of St. Helena, the island where Napoleon breathed his last, and, some say, had his penis amputated. Napoleon didn't feel a thing, if things the mot juste. He was dead. Stuart and Lisa, both of them CBEs, are just a couple of our headline acts. Or take our Ripper Walk. It's the creation of the world's leading expert on Jack the Ripper, Donald Rumbelow, the author of the definitive book on the subject. Britain's most distinguished crime historian, Donald is, in the words of the Jack the Ripper A to Z, internationally recognized as the leading authority on Jack the Ripper. Donald's emeritus now, but he's still the guiding light on our Ripper Walk. He curates the walk, he trains up and mentors our Ripper Walk guides, fields any and all questions they throw at him. The London Walk's aristocracy of talent, its all-star team of guides, includes a former London mayor. It includes the former chief music critic for the Evening Standard. It includes the chair of the Association of Professional Tour Guides and the former chair of the Guild of Guides. It includes barristers, doctors, geologists, museum curators, a former Museum of London archaeologist, historians, university professors, one of them a distinguished Cambridge University paleontologist. It includes criminal defense lawyers, Royal Shakespeare Company and National Theatre actors, a bevy of MVPs, Oscar winners, people who've won the big one, the Guide of the Year Award. Well, you get the idea. As that travel writer famously put it, if this were a golf tournament, every name on the leaderboard would be a London Walks guide. And as we put it, London Walks guides make the new familiar, and the familiar new. And on that agreeable note, come then, let us go forward together on some great London walks. And that's by way of saying, good walking and good Londoning, one and all. See you next time.